B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Jason Stark. Hello, Jason.
Mike, what's happening, man?
Well, we're talking Sixers, and I'm trying to get people. It seems like the people here right now are tuned out on the Phillies, but I want to bring them back because there's a lot of Philly issues. So,
well, there's issues.
Yes, yeah. There are issues. So first of all, I mean, covering this baseball with the COVID situation has to be very challenging for you. And of course, the big thing is whether they're going to be able to finish. So we all take this a day at a time. But you had a really interesting story with Andrew McCutchen and how angry he is about the Marlins and what they've done to the Phillies here. So tell us and tell the audience what basically his point is.
Well, he joined me and Doug Glanville in our Starkville podcast, available everywhere podcasts are sold, if you want to listen to the whole thing, for absolutely no charge. But I asked him at one point if he's angry at the Marlins. I was going to ask him if he was angry about other stuff, but I didn't have to, because he said multiple times how upset he was because his team has done nothing wrong. And he kept saying, we did nothing wrong, but we paid the price. And he's right. They lost the schedule lottery, right? The Marlins showed up in their park just as this incredible outbreak was engulfing their team. So because of that, they couldn't play for 4 days. Then they had false positive tests on a coach and a clubhouse guy, and that was 3 more days they couldn't play. And, just think about their team. Think about their season. You play 3 games. Not only do you take a week off, you can't even go to the stadium for 4 days because it's closed. And all of this at a time when they've done everything right. They've been one of the most conscientious teams about following the protocols. They've had no players test positive. The only coach turned out to be false positive. It's an outrage. And Andrew McCutchen, I give him a lot of credit. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. And a couple things, Mike. Derek Jeter did a Zoom session yesterday, and I twice tried to ask him what he would say to the Phillies players who were upset at what his team did to their team. And you'd think that'd be an easy, we're sorry.
Yeah.
Anybody who's had to pay the price for what we did, we apologize. No, he wouldn't say it.
No, he wouldn't say it, and he's sticking to the narrative. They went out for milk. And didn't go running around the bars in Atlanta, which the contrary reports had come out earlier. And he says that really it was Major League. He threw it on Major League Baseball's fault, not the Marlins, about that Sunday game.
Right. Well, for some reason he was fixated on the decision to play that game here on Sunday a week ago, and he like 3 different times. He kept saying that everybody knew. Major League Baseball knew. The Phillies knew. Everybody was in the loop. It wasn't just their players that decided to play that game. And look, there's some truth to that. Major League Baseball was aware of the testing results. They have to be. All positive tests are reported not to the team, but to MLB. So they knew. And the Phillies knew. It's still unclear exactly what they knew, but there were definitely conversations between Major League Baseball and the Phillies and the Marlins, I don't know, it looks like athletic trainer and the Phillies medical staff. It is a false narrative to a point that the Marlins just decided they're going to play. Let's play. Okay?
Right.
But the fact that Derek fixated on that and not the fact that his players violated protocol and caused this incredible outbreak and disruption in the sport that, if I had this count right, there are now 8 teams that haven't played games because of COVID issues, 6 of them because of the Marlins. He never took responsibility for that. So that's what really frustrates these Phillies players, and particularly Andrew McCutchen. And the one other thing that Kutch talked about that I thought was important was you know, the competitive odds are now stacked against his team because of nothing they did. Play that series, forced not to play for a week, go to Yankee Stadium, face Garrett Cole, get hurricaned out. Now it's not even going to rain, right?
Yeah.
Now you got 7 games in 6 days against the Yankees and Braves. They could be a 3-7 or 2-8 start waiting to happen. And a lot of it has to do with the freaking Marlins.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Now, listen, I don't think the Phillies are a great team, but it is tough to restart a season and not face pitching, live pitching, and not have your pitchers face live hitters and all that. So they're kind of restarting. So yeah, this is probably going to be a rocky week for them. I get that.
Yeah, I think that's the issue. It's interesting. I used to talk to players and coaches and scouts every day. Now I talk to infectious disease experts. Okay, so I talked to one the other day who works in professional sports, and he said, the sport should not operate this way, where they shut down two teams or a few teams, but everybody else goes on and plays. He said, for health reasons and competitive integrity reasons, everybody should stop if this is what's going on. And I think the Phillies are an example of that. And that's one of the things that Andrew McCutchen said. He said that in terms of competitive balance, the Phillies versus everybody else, it's not even close. But what can they do about it?
And tell me about the performance of this commissioner who came out and kind of like threw down the gauntlet and said, get your house in order or we're going to cancel the season. What effect would that have after some of the missteps that he's made through all this?
Well, I mean, he's not totally wrong that we've seen teams not follow these protocols. Right? You just have to watch the games. So we know that teams, even inside the park, are not following the protocols, and they've got to do better. But, you know, as my friend Ken Rosenthal wrote today, there's been a little too much they have to do better and not enough we all have to do better. And everybody needs to take responsibility for how this has gone so far. I mean, one of my big issues with the protocols from the beginning is it doesn't stipulate what teams have to do, what players have to do. It recommends it. And, Mike, you've been around a lot of players. Are players just going to follow recommendations about sitting in your hotel room, never leave? I don't know.
No, they're not even going to follow hard and fast rules. So, recommendations give them an out, basically.
It does. So everybody's got to get their act together because the season's in a precarious place. And, look, we need to find out if this is about whether the protocols can't possibly work, because if that's the case, then I don't know how football's going to play.
Yeah.
Whether you can't do this outside a bubble, or whether it's just a couple of teams that went off the rails. I said this to you last week. Cardinals are in that place now. We've got to get these answers to know whether or not it's possible to finish.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's talk about the team in general. They're not off to a great offensive start. Let's talk about the manager, first of all, because I have not been enamored by a lot of his pitching decisions. One of them was last night, and one was game one. I know he doesn't have a bullpen. What is he up against right now? He brings Guerra in that situation. Why not extend Arrieta one more inning? And then why Guerra when 2 lefties out of the first 3 hitters are coming up?
Yeah, I understand Arrieta because it's been so long since he pitched. You got to be careful. And Joe's so conscious of that. It's just how he's wired. But then when you go to the pen, I feel like, you know, remember when you used to take those surprise quizzes in school, Mike, and mm-hmm. took all the multiple choice answers mm-hmm. and thought, none of these can possibly be the right answer.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like in their bullpen.
Yeah.
I don't know what the right answers are. I don't know what the right choices are. I mean, when you look at bullpen usage so far, I know it's only four games, but Neris and Adam Morgan have faced a total of three batters in four games. I can't figure that out. And of the 14 appearances by this bullpen, they've had 3 1-2-3 innings. Now, one of them was by Guerra, who, when he closed that opening day, I was 1-2-3 with two punch-outs. That was the Saturday, the middle game of that series.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
1-2-3 with two punch-outs. He's the only guy in the bullpen who's had an inning like that. And so, I mean, I guess I understand, let's see what happens, but it's confusing. Joe's really been good at managing his bullpen for 10 years in the big leagues. So is it about him, or is it about who he's managing right now in that pen?
Yeah, no, I get that part of it, but like, I'm trying to like take it one step at a time, right? He's got it's Hicks, Stanton, Ford. And also, okay, yeah, so he's got two lefties. So why not? If you bring Morgan in, you got, all right, so the worst Stan could do is hit a home run off a lefty. That's a solo home run. But there's two lefties that he's probably going to be effective against. Maybe he gets all three of them out, and then you can start the next inning with a righty against Sanchez and Urshela. Like, I don't understand the move he made last night.
Yeah, I don't understand it either exactly. He didn't really specifically address it after the game last night. He just said that Garrett threw the ball so well the first time through, and he felt like he matched up. But until you see this bullpen actually pitch a little bit, it's just hard to know who fits what situation. I think that's the biggest problem.
Yeah. Can we tell what they are, Jason? I mean, listen, I feared whether McCutchen was going to be effective because of the age and the injury. I don't know about Scott Kingery anymore. Hoskins doesn't look like the same player. I mean, can we make any, or is it too soon?
I don't know how you make a judgment based on the way this season is gone. They did have a good spring, right? I mean, McCutchen didn't play, so he's got to get up to game speed, but Reese would be the guy I would be the most concerned about. The last calendar year, Mike, he's hit 161 with five homers. That's in almost 250 plate appearances. 64 strikeouts, 31 hits. Now, he gets on base. He's been on base 9 times in 19 trips, but his swing path is just a mess. Right, and he used to work counts to get that ball he could crush, and now it just feels like he's working counts just to work counts. You never see him hit the ball the other way. He's so pull conscious now. When he hits a ball hard, doesn't it seem like he pulls it 50 feet foul? This guy was on a path to being a star, and Gabe Kapler and John Maley tried to fix something that wasn't broke. And he cannot find the swing that made him look like he was going to be a major impact middle of the order bat. You got to give everybody time, and because it's been a mess.
Yeah,
but he's a big worry.
You said something real interesting there. He's working counts just to where it counts, and that to me is a confidence problem. That is a belief in your head that you can't hit. And so you're trying to avoid the aggressiveness that you usually have because you're uncertain whether you can hit, and that's a terrible thing for a hitter.
Yeah, with his swing path, they're just pitches he can't handle now.
Yeah,
right? Pull conscious uppercut, no ability to take the ball the other way. Right, a line a ball through the middle. Charlie Manuel tried to get him to get back to that last year, and it never happened for whatever reason.
All right, Jason, doubleheader tomorrow at the old ballpark, so we'll see what happens. Now, let me just get one last question here. This Spencer Howard situation, are they more than likely now that he'll start a game with the doubleheader situation?
Joe strongly hinted that after the game last night, said they need a starter for Sunday. And why would it not be him? All the service time worries are over. There's no worries now about innings or pitches. It's August. So Nola Wheeler tomorrow, then some version of Eflin Velasquez, then Arrieta comes back Saturday. I think you see Spencer Howard Sunday. That'll be must-see TV.
All right, it is must-see TV. How are you feeling about the Sixers right now, by the way?
seen this movie before.
Yeah. I got you. Yeah, yeah. I know you're buried in baseball issues, but I know you're paying attention to this.
Well, rain delay was very convenient last
year. Jason, always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you.
You too, Mike.
All right, Jason Starr brought to us by DraftKings.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.